Tonight we're going to count the last Sfira. He counted 49. So in the Maharil, he writes that the last night he counted 49 and the cross of Shavuos. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev understands that the Maharil is telling you that that's what you say in Sfira Zalema. You say Hayoim, whatever, 49, that makes 7 weeks on the Machros of Shavuos. You got to say that. Then he says, maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe just you count 49, 7 weeks. And then he's commenting, and tomorrow happens to be Shavuos. But it's not that. That's part of the Sfira Zalema. It's a Chiddush thing, want to say, because it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that mitzvah the memni yami, mitzvah the memni shavuot, that you count both days and weeks because of the theory between the two psukim. And Parshas Emor says it's right malachem chamishim yom, and the Parshas where it says shiva shavuot this baloch. So the Gemara says mitzvah to count days, mitzvah to count weeks. So the Gemara says in Chagiga, when you count the days, you kaveh shavuot as a day. When you count the weeks, you kaveh shavuot as a week. What do you mean as a week? That there's tashlumen for the 6 days following Shavuos. That is both a yontav of one day, the yontav of a whole week. So since the Gemara says that the purpose of Sfira Sam is to be kaveh Shavuos, so that's why there's a possibility that the Poshub Shad is that he didn't mean it. That's why the Shari Tshuva understood or misunderstood, whatever, that the Maharil meant to say that when you count the last night, you should count tonight is 49, next 7 weeks, on the Machros of Shavuos, you should say that. Because the whole purpose of the Sfira Zayma is to be Kovei Shavuos. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Achrayim quote the Minig, two versions of the Minig, either not to daven Ma'ariv till on Leil Shavuos, not to daven Ma'ariv till Tzeisa Kochavim, or not to say Kiddush at home till Tzeisa Kochavim. Here in the community, in Broyan, that's their Minig. They'll daven Ma'ariv early, like on any Shabbos Niyantiv, they'll daven in Shemana Esri early, but they'll be makbid that when you go home, you should wait till Tzeisa Kochavim for saying the Kiddush. The two different versions of as to what is this a chumrah for the Achrayim. There's no early sources for this. So some of the Achrayim said it based on Loshan Apostle, Shavu Shavuos is Tmimis Tiyena, that the 49 days should be full, and then Shavuos begins. That's a problem, because the Gemara says Tmimis goes on each day should be Tmimis. The Gemara never says Tmimis goes on the whole unit of the 7 weeks of the 49 days. The Gemara says the Sfira should be Balayla as opposed to Bayom, because even though the Pasuk says you should count Sfira Miyom Haviyachem Mizayim Ratnufa, so Havoas HaOmer is Bayom, so one would have thought that you count Sfira Bayom. The Gemara says, no, if you're going to count Sfira Bayom as the simple reading of the Pasuk, so then it will come out that it's not Tmimas, because you didn't include the whole 24 hours in the Sfira. You only included the Yom and not the Laila, so that's why you have to count Balayla. So the Gemara says that Tmimus goes on each and every day should be a Sfira. You should include as much of the day as possible in the Sfira. But Gemara never says that it goes on all the 49 days. That's up to the Goinim, and the Rishonim came up with such an idea. The Rishonim quote the Ran on the last page in the Dorm, in Psochim. The Ran on the last daf in the Rif in Psochim quotes the one of the Goinim, the Rabba, the Halachas Gedolos, as saying that if you missed the first night of Sfira, then it's a lack of Tmimus. He understands that Tmimus means that's everything all together. So a different understanding of Tmimus. So that's one version over here. That's the Masses Binyamin says like that, that you shouldn't have Ma'ariv early on Leil Shavuos, because you need Tmimus means the whole unit of 49 days should be complete, and then Shavuos begins. And others said, no, that's not, there never was such a meaning. The meaning was to be makbid, not to say Kiddush until Tzeisa Kochavim Leil Shavuos, because of because different pasuk. Because the pasuk says, across them, etzem ayam azeh, mikra kodesh yalachem. So across the mikra kodesh, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that phrase refers to reciting Kiddush. And etzem ayam azeh means itzumah shel yom, actual day, as opposed to the zman of Tosefes. So you should recite the Kiddush, that's the Nitziv. Darshan's Psukim Lakatana. So that's what he suggests. Shlomo LeVilna has the same. They were contemporaries. Shlomo LeVilna was a Dayan of Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. And they used to all correspond with each other. So they both have this original Kiddush. That the whole Kveid only is not to begin to recite Kiddush until Tzeisa Kochavim. The Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar that there's an inyan in staying up all night Leil Shavuos and learning. If a person's not going to learn, there's no inyan. An inyan, special inyan to stay up Shavuot. Some have the minigidim to stay up the second night. In our yeshiva, we don't have that minig. In Baltimore, they have that. The Shara Tshuva mentioned such a minig. They have it in Flatbush now. Some shuls are advertising having Tikkun Leil Shavuot second night also. But we don't have that minig. The Prima Gadol talks about the beginning of the night, a lot of people stay awake. Then by the time comes the morning, only the younger children are awake, and the older folks already went to sleep. So the shaila was, if there are a couple of older people there who are clearly bar mitzvah, and then they're davening tefillah b'tzibur, so the Prima Gadol raises an issue that the tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov is a din d'oraisa. That the Beis Yosef quotes that from the Ramban. And Chumash and Parshas and Mor. They say some Hilchos Pesach quotes that when he has Hilchos Tfilos Yom Tov, because it says Mikra Kodesh, and the word Mikra means Kruoi Hoeda, assembly. Mikra Kodesh means it's the day of holy assemblage. Ramban says that you have to gather together to learn Talmud Torah B'tzibur and to daven Tfilah B'tzibur. So that's what the Prima Gadol points out, that the Ramban is an interesting idea, that even though he's of the opinion that the obligation to daven every day is only midrabbanan, he disagrees with the Rambam and says the obligation to daven every day is deraisa. But tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos Yom Tov, that's deraisa. Achidish, tefillah b'tzibur. So then the Prima Gadol says, well, there's a Gemara in Nida that talks about, we spoke about it recently, the Gemara talks about when a boy reaches the age of 13, do you have the right to assume that he certainly has Shtei Sairus or not? So the Gemara, many assume that the girls and the boys are the same thing. That's what we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago, whether that's the pshat. L'yochem erechad be'ish, avokam hu be'isho. So some of the Achreinim said that by an isha, erechad is neman, erechad is sufficient to establish that she has Shtei Sairus. Mikra din. Yeah. Unless you know bevadai, he asked the question. The Gemara talks beforeish about shnei edim davav lechatzidav about shnei. So let's say the girl's 12 years old. You know that she doesn't have shtei sairus. So then you have to wait till you find out that she does have shtei sairus. So then let's say she's 18 and someone's going to be boidik now. So then it won't be sufficient to rely on noshim, because you know that the chazaka that whoever any girl who has reached yud beishanu v'yamechut certainly has shtei sairus. The chazaka doesn't apply to this girl. You know, the vadas that she didn't have to. Then you talk, you have to have shnei eidim kshem. But if you don't know one way or the other, so at the age of 12, you assume she probably has shtei sairus. So some of the achrayim say that's what the sifrei is driving at, that there's a difference between boys and girls. That chazaka called shehigiyo, l'chalal shonim, higiyo, l'chalal simonim, that's only higiyo by girls. By boys it doesn't apply. And others assume, no, that the chazaka applies equally to boys and girls. And the Gemara just says you have to be boidik for chalitza, that if a man dies and he leaves no children and his wife needs chalitza, so the din is that the yavam has to be bar mitzvah. It says kach yasa leish, ish kat lekatan, katan cannot do chalitza. So the Gemara says you have to be boidik for chalitza, you have to be boidik for a get. Let's say the Baal wants to write a get has to be written lishma, so a katan cannot write lishma. Let's say, okay. So the Gemara says, Yeboidik lechalitza, Yeboidik for a get. You have to make sure that the sofer writes the get is a gadol, to make sure that he has shtei sairus. He shouldn't rely on the chazaka. So that's a machloikas achreinim. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a steer in the Magen Avraham, two different places. The Netziv has in his chulis in the Meshiv Dover, in the end of Chelek Aleph of Meshiv Dover, he has a oris on Arachaim. So he talks about this contradiction in the Magen Avraham. And in one place, the Magen Avraham says that with respect to all dinim deraisa, you have to be boidik to make sure that the boy has shtei sairus. You only rely on chazaka derove, rabbis chazaka kol shehigiyah lechlal shanim, hekliyah lechlal simanim. You only rely on chazaka derove, but to get to dinim derabanan, but to get to dinim deraisa, you always have to be boidik. In the other place, the Magen Avraham says, no, it's only been to get to chalitza in gittin, that's babashat yerva, that's more serious matters. But when you get to dinam deraisa also, you have a right to rely on chazaka derava. So here the Prima Gadol is writing, according to that version, that when you get to all dinam deraisa, that's why a lot of shuls, they won't allow a child who was just barely bar mitzvah to learn Parsha Zohar, because Parsha Zohar is deraisa, and when you get to dinam deraisa, you can't rely on the chazaka derava, that whoever is already 13 years old probably has shtei sairus. Maybe it doesn't have shtei sairus. So the Prima Gadol has this. He says on Shavuos in the morning, a lot of times the older people went to sleep. So the couple of older people, they have to daven tefillah b'tzibur, that's a din d'oraisa. So who is the minyan consist of? You have a lot of children who are just barely bar mitzvah. They were just bar mitzvah. So he says, then again, to a din d'oraisa, that you have to have tefillah b'tzibur on Yom Tov, you shouldn't rely on chazaka d'rav. You have to make sure that you have 10 people who are for sure are bar mitzvah. If their beards are growing, if their parents are ready, okay, if they have children already, you have to 35 years, if they're over 35 years old, then they become honorary gedolei. For the most of these mentioned, saying about him, shivim shana. The normal life expectancy is 70 years, so once you reach the age of 35, that's already, you're over the hill. You're more than halfway to the end. So, roish naisel, you become honorary by mitzvah. So that's the Prima Gadim. It's a chiddush what the Prima Gadim assumes, that that the Ramban meant to say that every tefillah you daven on Yom Tov has to be tefillah b'tzibur. He davened last night, he davened ma'ariv tefillah b'tzibur. He has to daven shachar, it's also tefillah b'tzibur. Musaf and mincha, everything has to be tefillah b'tzibur. Maybe means number one, there's an inyan to organize tefillah b'tzibur in the community. There is a tefillah b'tzibur, the 8 o'clock minyan, then at 9 o'clock minyan, there's going to be tefillah b'tzibur. And maybe it means that you should daven once on Yom Tov tefillah b'tzibur. It does not necessarily mean every single tefillah should be tefillah b'tzibur. But that's the Prima Gadim raises that concern.
So, Rabbi, what if there are 9 people there, and there's a kid there who's 13, 14, and he knows for himself, he doesn't have tzara.
So you should tell him not to be mitzara for him to the minyan. You should tell him, yeah. It's a rare case. Usually there is day times. Especially now, children mature, even that's when you become bar mitzvah. Ki yazid ish avayehu at socha nefesh, as the pasuk in Mishpatim, so the Gemara says, ki yazid ish mezid mazriya, kot neina mezid mazriya. Mezid means if the zera will cook up in his body, that'll be roi lahoilet. Ki yazid ish, if he's mezid mazriya, if he's able to be moiled, then he's an ish, then he's a gadol, then he's considered bar mitzvah. And that Prima Gadim, when he talks about the people staying up all night, so he talks about davening shachris early. Usually in the yeshivas, I think they don't daven shachris early. They daven vasikin. They start davening in such a way that they say Shema right before Neitzachama, Shema Nes right after. But the Prima Gadim writes it by Balabatim. In other communities, the practice is that they stayed up all night, so they're so exhausted, so they want to go to sleep as early as possible. So they want to daven shachris before Neitzachama. So that's a machlokes achrayim. There's a Mishnah Megillah that says that lachatchila you shouldn't perform a bris milah, and you shouldn't say halal, and you shouldn't shake a lulav. Forgot that a couple of other mitzvahs it mentions there before haneitzachama. But yeah, but if you did it after alos hashachar, you would be yotzei. It never said shmonesre. Never said shmonesre. So that's a machlokes achrayim. So the Pri Chodosh, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes. So the Pri Chodosh writes that they never made a chumra lachatchila shmana esri not to daven before haneitzachama, because in the Beis Hamikdash they always brought the tamid shel shachar before haneitzachama. And the other achrayim say no, the Beis Hamikdash is kohanim's reason hang, they're very careful, so of course they don't have to worry. The whole reason why you shouldn't do any of the mitzvahs before haneitzachama, because they may by mistake do it before los hashachar, and if you do before los hashachar, say not yotzei at all. So that's why in the Rabbanan they made a chumra not to do a mitzvah shezmana bayom. You shouldn't do it before haneitzachama. So that's the machlokes. Do you have the right to learn out from the Beis Hamikdash that the Kohanim always brought every single day? The Mishnah says in Tomei they brought the Tom Shashach before haneitzachama. So the same thing shachris that the davening is keneged the hakrovus hakavonos. Or should we assume no? That's different because Kohanim's reason here. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah thinks like Rov Achrayim that it's not right to daven shachris before haneitzachama, only b'shas abchak. Avitzel Petterburger, the Pri Yitzchok, that was Rabbi Sol Salanter's outstanding Talmud and learning, he has a whole tshuva in the Pri Yitzchok. He thinks that like the Pri Chodesh, he thinks that it's mutar lachatchila to daven Shmona Esrei Shachris before Haneitzacham, is just that you won't chap, you won't gain Vasikin. Vasikin Bishle Musa is to recite Kriya Shema immediately before Haneitzacham, and to recite Shmona Esrei immediately after Haneitzacham. So if you do everything before, so you won't have the full Vasikin. So the Prima Gadim is working on the assumption that it's not right to daven Shachris before Haneitzacham, unless it's a big Shas Abchak. So he says, well, Shavuos, everybody's so tired because they stayed up all night, so you can be Mekel. But he says, you can be Mekel, then you get to Shmona Esrei, but Halal, that's the Mishnah. That the Mishnah Megillah says, L'chatchila, you shouldn't Chachili shouldn't recite Hallel before Hanetzacham, unless it's also Shas Hatchak, so Shas Hatchak Kedi Evidami. They're so tired, so they want to say Hallel also. I remember I once davened in a shul. I once didn't daven in a yeshiva on Shavuos. I davened in a shul by Baba Batim, so he asked me to give Shiur all night long. And then they davened, they were saying Hallel also before Hanetzacham. They were saying Hallel before Hanetzacham. So that's the team of God, and he said, that's not right. To be mekel on the machlek is to be chodesh and the other achrayim, that there's room to be mekel. But to be mekel on Hallel before Hanetzacham, that's not so proper.
Doesn't everybody agree that there's the inyan of having vasikin by Netzachama and not doing it earlier? And it would, shouldn't everybody agree it's bidi having to do it earlier than when the Mishnah presents?
Yeah, but vasikin is a midas chasidus. It's not that l'chatchila everybody should do vasikin. That's lefnei mishur hasadin. Vasikin is lefnei mishur hasadin. That's a hinder.
But the Shulchan Aruch makes it sound that's the right time, and bidi having you can be yotzei after.
I don't think so. I think Vasikin means. Vasikin means Chasidim Anshei Maisa. That's really the name of Shavuos Adin. Anyway, on Shavuos we say Halal Sholem, just like on the first days of Pesach and just like on Sukkot. Kriyas HaTorah on the first day Shavuos is Maimon HaSinai. The Ramban HaChumash holds that that's a mitzvah min HaTorah to lain, just like Parshas Zohar is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Tosfos says, many Rishonim say so too. Parshas Maimon HaSinai, because it says in Chumash Dvarim, it says a lashon like that. That you should remember Maimon HaSinai. So it says remember means to learn the parsha once a year, every year. Maimon HaSinai. The minig always was that when the Balkar is learning Parshas Maimon HaSinai, everybody stands up for Kavod Aseres Hadibros. So the Rambam has a famous tshuva where he thinks that this is not right. And he quotes the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Brachas, where the Gemara says that in Beis HaMikdash they used to recite the Aseres HaDibros every day after Shachris, as part of Shachris. And the Gemara says they wanted to introduce it after the Churban Beis HaMikdash also in the shuls, and the Gemara says that they did away with it. Bitlu mipnei tarumas aminim, because the minim, that the Kursim thought that only Aseres HaDibros was min HaShemayim, and the other 613 mitzvahs are only in the Rabban. Not supposed to give more chashivas to the Aseres HaDibros than anything else. So one of the Hungarian Gedolim wrote that the fact that they have the Aseres HaDibros on the paroches, that's a violation. He thinks that this was started by the Reform. That's probably not correct. They have old paroches from centuries before the Reform movement. They have the Pashtun says that there aren't Kodesh, and the Luchas in it. So the Aron that we have is reminiscent of the aren't Kodesh in the and the Beis HaMikdash, that's why you put the Luchas over there. That's what's supposed to be in the Aron HaKodesh, supposed to be the Luchas. But to give more Hashivas to the Aseres HaDibros and everything else, so that's what the Rambam says, that's not right. So that's the question, how can we still have the practice that everybody stands up for Aseres HaDibros? That says you should really stand up from the beginning of the whole Aliyah. If you know that they're going to lay in Aseres HaDibros now, stand up in the beginning now. If we don't stand up for the other Aliyahs, we only stand up for that Aliyah. Now, Soloveitchik suggested a reason why we're not in violation of the Tshuvas HaRambam. He said, it says here in the Mishnah Brura, it points out here, that whenever we lain Aseres HaDibros, the Tzibur, so we lain with the Tama Elyon. There are two tropes, there's Tama Elyon and Tama Tachton. So the Tama Tachton breaks, the Mishnah Brura explains in the Bir Halacha, you break up the Psukim according to Psukim. You lay in a pasuk and you lay in soft pasuk at the end of the pasuk. So you have loisir tzach, loisir naf, loisir gnov, is all one pasuk. So the tam ha-tachton, when you get to the end, you lay in soft pasuk. And according to the tam ha-elyon, you lay in loisir tzach as a separate pasuk, loisir tinaf as a separate pasuk, loisir tinaf as a separate pasuk. You lay in each one of the aseres hadibros as a separate pasuk. And then anochi shamalakecho has a few psukim in it. So going to the Tam HaTachton, you end the Sof Pasuk at the end of every Pasuk. Going to the Tam HaElyon, you lay the whole thing as one Pasuk. So since our minigis, so he said that his grandfather, Rab Chaim, never allowed them to lay in Tam HaElyon because it's in violation of the din called Pesukot Ola Paskin Moshe and Non-Loy Paskin. He's not allowed to stop in the middle of a Pasuk to treat it as if it's a Sof Pasuk. And who had the name, Rab Soloveitchik, you got it on. It's a din called Pesukot Ola Paskin Moshe, means you're laying in Shaloi Kechsova. You're distorting the text of the Chumash. So he said, included in the din of called psukim like Paskim Moshe is also fakir. You're not allowed to lay two psukim together as if they're one pasuk. A lot of times the Balkari lanes quickly and he ends the pasuk and begins the next pasuk called Benishima. So that's not right. That's why they should thought that's also a violation of called psukim like Paskim Moshe. You have to lay kirsavai. Kirsavai means to pause. Supposed to pause between one pasuk and the other, and pause more by a stuma, and pause more by a psucha. That's what it says in Rishayim. You're supposed to pause more by a psucha than by a stuma. By us, the Balkar doesn't pause at all. It just keeps on going, right, quickly. So that's taka, not right. So some Rishayim never held from the whole Tamil Elyon. Where did it come from? He said, Rav Chaim didn't allow them to lay in Tamil Elyon, period. But the common practice is that everybody lays Tamil Elyon. So since you're laying the Aseres HaDibros as units of Dibros, not as Psukim, so that's why we stand reminiscent of Maimon HaSin. It's not that we want to give more Hashivas to the Aseres HaDibros, but rather, since we're laying it the Tam HaElyon, so we're treating it as if we're listening to the Aseres HaDibros. We're not treating it like Kriyas HaTorah, we lay Psukim. We're treating it as if we're listening to the Aseres HaDibros and Maimon HaSin. So Maimon HaSin, everybody was standing. That's taka the reason why all year long many have the practice to stand, because Kriyas HaTorah Bayas is always reminiscent of Maimon HaSinai. But even more so on Shavuos, when you're laying the Aseres HaDibros with the Tam HaElyon, so it's more so that it's reminiscent of Maimon HaSinai.
Rather, some communities have that I described of other parts of the Shabbat, like Az Yashir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's an issue there. I'll sit down.
So Tam HaElyon, where does it start from?
The Rishayim, the Cheskuni mentions it. Other Rishayim, they're different in Hagim. Some only had the meaning, Mishnah Berurah, some had the meaning only to lay in Tam HaElyon on Shavuos. And others had the Tam HaElyon. We lay in, every time you lay in Betzibur, you use Tam HaElyon. And others had the meaning, if there's a difference between Yisro and Voschana. Different in Hagim. Our meaning is, whenever you lay in Betzibur, we lay in the Tam HaElyon. Mm-hmm. On Shavuos and Musaf, the Baal HaTanya has a chiddush in his siddur that usually we recite the psukim of the Musaf, and then we say Mechos when it came to Dubar, then we say V'soy lechaptas Shnei smidim ki hochosim. So on Shavuos, in addition to the 11 Musafim, the same 11 Musafim that they brought on Rosh Chodesh and on the first day's Pesach, in addition to that, with the soil of 10 oilas and 1 chatas, the soil of chatas, they brought the shtei halechem, and they brought karbonis in conjunction with the shtei halechem. So the Baal HaTanya thought that it's important to say shnei sirim lechaper. We should mention the extra soir that was brought in conjunction with the shtei halechem. There were other karbonis or oilas that were brought in conjunction. What else was brought? Shalmei tzibur. Shlamim is the one carbon that sometimes a kochim, sometimes kochim kalim. If a yochid brings a shlamim, then it's a kochim kalim. If it's shalmei tzibur on Shavuos, he brings zivchei shalmei tzibur, then it's a kochim. That's what it says in the Mishnayos and the Zal Mekoyim. You should really mention the shalmei tzibur also. So the Baal HaTanya didn't introduce that. He was only makbir on the soyer lachatas that you bring in conjunction with the shtei alechem. Because there's a Tosfos in Megillah, she has a Rambam, I think, that the Iker Din of the Shalma form, so saying it really goes on the Chatos, for Kapora purposes. So that's his Chiddush. That on Shavuos, he should say Shnei Sirim L'Chata. When I was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, when I was single, so I remember when it came Shavuos morning, Musaf, so half the people were half asleep. So a couple of years in a row, the Gabbai asked me to daven Musaf. I used to have a good voice. So I used to daven Musaf, and then when it came the end of the bracha ritzei, so I said the Nusach Hagro instead of saying Shos Chalavat Chavir Anavot, I say Hamachzor Shchinasa Vatzion, because in the Lithuanian yeshivas in Europe they didn't adapt all of the shitas of the Gro, they didn't adapt all of the Nusach Hagro and Tefillah, but certain things they did adapt. So that was one of them that was pretty widespread in the yeshivas. They didn't say There's only going to Chaim Elosh, and we're makbid not to change the nusach habrocha when you duchen to say shoatzchal avat chavir enam. That was the nusach habrocha that they said in Shmona Esrei in the Beis Hamikdash. But why should we say it now? There's no mocker in the Rishayim that you're supposed to change the nusach habrocha when you're going to have duchenim. So the only going was makbid at Chaim Elosh, and it was makbid that you should say amach zeshchin al salatim. The same thing leil yontif. When you say Marovis, when you say the Piyutim in the middle of Yeshivas, they don't say, but Balabatim, where they say Marovis. So instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael, so they say Tzu Yisrael V'Go'alo. So they're going with Makbet about that also. You shouldn't change the Nusach HaBrochem, the Hechetes, the same thing Aseres Meitshuva. Instead of saying Go'seh HaShalom, so he insisted you should say Baruch Atah Yisrael V'Shalom. I remember there was a Balabos who had Yahrzeit on Rosh Hashanah in Boston. So every year he would daven for Anam. He would be the Baal Tefillah for Shachris. They wouldn't daven Musaf. He would daven Shachris and Rabbi Soloveitchik's minion. In my mind, he was a Poshet of Baal Abbas. A nice religious man, but he wasn't learned at all. So I remember one year, he started to say Shir Amalus. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, shouldn't say Shir Amalus, a Hepsik. So he asked him afterwards. But in my sitter, Rabbi Soloveitchik, was printed in my sitter. So he said, it's a misprint. And this print doesn't belong there. And then he said at the end of the Chazar Sashan, so he said, Oseh HaShalom. So Rabbi Soloveitchik made him say over the Bracha B'Yevit, that's a Chiddush. Others have the Nusach, other Kilos have the Nusach, and say all year long, Oseh HaShalom. So how can you say that B'Yevit you're not yet? So he told me he has to say it over. So after he finished the Kaddish, I asked him, but in my master it's printed, Oseh HaShalom. So it is a misprint. It's a misprint. So he didn't want to get involved with the Baal Tefillah. He just told me this. So I remember every year, a couple of years in a row, when I was the Baal Tefillah. This is one of the things that they did in the Litvish Isha. It said, they didn't change the Nusach HaBrach. So I remember after Musaf, Rabbi Lifshitz would always give me, he was saying Yiddish, a double Yashikach. Yashikach van Davinen, Yashikach is saying Hamach Zesh Chinoso Letzion. Both double Yashir Kayach.
Yeshiva now says which one?
I think they've changed the Nusach. They say Shoskol Al Tabir now. But that was not the meaning in the Litvish Yeshivas. There are more records of meaning by Ashkenazim that you have a milchig meal on Shavuos. And there are more. And they give different reasons why. The Mishnah Brura quotes one minute to have milchiks and to have honey, because the pasuk says, describing Talmud Torah, that Dvash v'chalav tachas l'sheinach. Others have the minute to have milchiks on Shavuos and honey cake on Erev Yom Kippur, because the 2 days in the year that we celebrate Kabbalah Torah, one is Yom Kippur, Yom Shinit Maruch Hashnias, and Shavuos is Zman Kabbalah Torah. So we have the honey cake, we have the honey on Erev Yom Kippur, and we have the milchiks, the Ashkenazim have the milchiks on Shavuos. They give different reasons. The Ramah suggests that the reason why you have milchiks is because we want to make a zecher l'shtei alechem. In the Beis HaMikdash, they brought the korban of shtei alechem. So usually, when you say hamoitzi on Yantiv, so on Shabbat Yantiv, you have Bacha Mishnah. So many people have the practice, they have Lacha Mishnah and Samas, but they don't cut both. They only eat from one challah, if it's big enough. They only eat from one challah. The Vilna Gaon says, whenever you have Lacha Mishnah, you have to cut both. You don't necessarily have to eat from both. You have to cut both. That's the Shittas HaRashba in Brochus, that the challah that you don't cut is if it's still in the bakery. It's not mitzarev to Lacha Mishnah. That was the Groz Chumr, to follow the Rashba. I remember the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, we were married, we had no children, so we decided to visit Eretz Yisrael, and we were blessed with all the children. And so my father-in-law had learned in Europe in the Miri Yeshiva, so he had a lot of friends there in Eretz Yisrael. He gave us a list of all of his friends that we should visit, this one, that one, the other. So one of his friends, he was a teenager, he was learning away from home, and he was away from his parents the whole time, so they became they didn't go back for every Shabbos, they didn't go back for Yom Tov either. It was expensive to travel. So they became very friendly with the other chaverim. So they're very, very close chaverim. And my father hadn't seen them from before the war. He hadn't seen all of his friends for years and years. So his chaverim were very kind to us. And the only sister, which one of his friends especially, Rabbi Finkel, from the Meir Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Finkel. So he insisted we have to eat all the meals by him. So we didn't eat all the meals by him, but we ate more by him than by anybody else. I remember once we came late, the Shalosh Shudas, everybody was eating already. So he said we should go into the kitchen and wash. And then his wife had gigantic challahs. So as I was washing in the kitchen, so he whispers in my ear in Yiddish that I shouldn't feel embarrassed or uncomfortable. His minig is that he always follows the Vilna Gaon, he cuts both challahs. So he said, you should cut both challahs also. Even though it was only for me and my wife, who was going to eat the other challah? So I shook my head. I came, sat down to the table, and I cut these both challahs. So he had a single daughter at that time. She's married now to Rabbi Lapiansky, who's in Silver Spring. Or something, as Yeshiva Silver Spring. He married the youngest daughter. He only had daughters, he had no sons. And they all married Americans. All of his daughters married Americans. The one who died, the Rashiva who died, that was his son-in-law. And then he had the others were also sons-in-law. So he had a single daughter at that time. She was around 18 years old, 19 years old. She never realized her father's Midas Chasidus. He was always at Tzanua. So no one ever realized his Midas Chasidus, even his own children. So she started to scream at me in Hebrew, Ma pitam, what are you cutting the two challahs for? Who's going to eat the other challah? So I didn't say anything. My father told me to cut the both challahs. Yeah, a lot of people do that. They're going shita. So apparently the Ramah had the meaning all year long, you only cut one of the two challahs. So even if you cut the both challahs, you don't eat from both challahs. And on Shavuos, you want to make a zecha l'shtei alechem. That was the korban that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramah writes, Shulchan Sholodom, it's like a mizbeach. That's what the Gemara has a lashon. Bisman shabis mikdash ayikayim, you would bring karbanos and get a kaporah. Bisman shein beis mikdash kayim, the Gemara has expression shulchan or shalodam mechaper. What do you mean shulchan mechaper? If you invite anim to eat by you, don't invite anim, so the shulchan is not mechaper. But because of that expression shulchan or shalodam mechaper, so the Ramah says that we want to eat from the two chalas, from the both lechem ishna chalas. To make a zecha l'shtei alechem that was a korban on Shavuos. So in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have forks and knives and spoons, and little spoons and big spoons and everything. They used to eat everything with their fingers. Everybody, the Jews, non-Jews, Chassidim, Misnagim, everybody ate. It's a recent invention that you eat everything with knives and forks, and you don't get your fingers greasy. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi. If you had fleishiks in the meal, so we assume your fingers are going to be full of grease, and you probably put the grease, you smeared the grease on the challah. So you shouldn't eat the leftover challah, shouldn't be eaten with a milchik meal. Or if you had cheese in the meal, so your fingers are going to be full of cheese, you probably made the challah cheesy. So you shouldn't eat the leftover challah in the milchik meal with a fleishik meal. So Ramos says if you're going to have milchiks, the reason to have milchiks is going to have milchiks and fleishiks. On Yontav, you have to have fleishiks. So you're going to have milchiks and fleishiks, so then you're going to have to eat from both chalas. That's going to be a zecha l'shtela. That's the Ramah's guessing. He thinks that's the reason for the minig. Others give other reasons why the minig is to have milchiks, because basal cholav tachas l'shoinach, the Mishnah Berurah says, you heard from an Adam Gadol that on Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros, so they understood in the Aseres HaDibros all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. That's how Rashi quotes from Rav Sadi Gaon. That's a machlekes. Rashi quotes from Sadi Gaon that the Aseres HaDibros were the 10 categories that included all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. And the Ramban says, no. According to Rashi, based on Rav Sadi Gaon, so the Maimon HaSinai was after Klal Yisrael became Gerim. They said, Nasa Nishman, they brought the Korban Ager, they had meal and tefillah and Korban, everything, and then they were Jewish. So then the Ribbono Shel Olam taught them the Torah. So he taught Aseres HaDibros, which contains within it all the Taryag Mitzvahs, and the Ramban disagrees. He says, no, the Aseres HaDibros was the Hoidoas HaMitzvahs that's prior to the Geirus. And so Maimon HaSinai was we weren't yet Jewish. It was before we became Geir. Then the Ramban quotes, it's a Machlekes HaTanoim and the Mechilta. It's very strange. Machlekes Rashi and the Ramban and the Machlekes HaTanoim and the Mechilta. So Rashi thinks this Tana makes more sense. Ramban thinks the other Tana makes more sense. Two opinions in the Mechilta, whether Maimon HaSinai was before the Geirus or after the Geirus. Rashi says, Emukta Memucha Batur. Rashi says the pesuk mechumash are out of order. That Maimon Hasin is in Yisrael. And the end of the Mishpatim, it says they brought the Karbanos Hager. They said Nasa ben Ishma. So Rashi says it's out of order because Maimon Hasin was Talmud Torah to the Klal Yisrael after they won this Gairu. And the Ramban is not happy with Rashi that he so often will add a mukta mimucha batar. He says, you only say mukta mimucha batar in rare cases when you're really stuck. Then you say, but normally we assume things in the Chumash are written in order. So Ramban, he quotes the Machlokes HaTanaim, he thinks more correct to say like the other time, that the Psukim are in order, that the Aseres HaDibros was Madinos and Mitzvos Mitzvos Kalos, or Mitzvos Mitzvos Chamuras. You have to notify the gear of the stamping of the Mitzvos. So the Ramah, right, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes this reason, that when the Rabban Shalom proclaimed that Aseres HaDibros, somehow they all understood all the Tayyag Mitzvahs, they understood there's a din, you're not allowed to eat Nevela, you have that proper Shechita, and they didn't have any flesh that they shechted, they had Nevela flesh, it wasn't geshochten properly, so they couldn't eat flesh, so they had to eat Melchik. So they make a Zechel, the original Shavuos, when the Jews were stuck, they had to eat Melchik, because all the flesh they had was Nevela. So that's why we eat melchik on Shavuos. But the Ramah said melchik is not to eat melchik. Melchik is to have the beginning of the meal melchik, and then to switch in the middle and to have fleshiks in the second half of the meal. Because on Yontif there's a din of simcha. The Gemara says this is the last page in the Mishnah Berurah. This is chelakei. So the last page, the last next to the last beer halacha talks about this. The Gemara Pesachim says that bisman shabis mikdash yikayim. The Kohanim are yotzei by eating chazer b'shoik of shlomim, or by eating chatos and osham, whatever. Everyone has to eat korbanos. And Yisrael are yotzei by eating the dorim and the dovis, or ma'aseh behema. Everyone has to eat some b'sar korbanos. There's a tosefta that's quoted in the first parak of Maseches Chagiga, that on each one of the shalosh regalim, there's an obligation to bring three korbanos. To bring oilos ria, to bring shalmei chagiga. You don't have to eat the shalmei chagiga. You have to be makriv it, and you pay for it. The kohen is kohen does the avodah. You're not makriv it, but you're the bala korban. It's often on your behalf. If you can't afford it, so you have many people join together. You can have 5,000 people chip in together to buy one oilos ria. 5,000 people chip in together to buy one shalmei chagiga. And then simcha is the third korban. You have to have oilos ria, makriv oilos ria. Makriv shamech agiga, you don't necessarily have to eat it, just to be makriv the shamech agiga. Then there's a din simcha means you have to eat besar karbonis. So the Rosh Hashanah Gemara, it doesn't necessarily have to be your carbon. Someone else, someone bought a chatos and the Kohanim eat it. So it's not his carbon, it's the person who sinned. But when the Kohanim eat the chatos from the Yashim, it said, that's the Mishnah and Chagiga in the first prayer. The Kohanim yotzei from the chavasim, the chatos of Hashamas, of the chazav shoik of shlomim and so on. So the Gemara Pesachim, that's in the Mishnah Berurah quotes on the last page. Gemara Pesachim says that Bizman Shabbos makes the Shaykhan the only way to fulfill Simcha is by eating Psar Karbonis. If Bizman is there, there's no Psar Karbonis, so you have to have Basa B'yayin. So that's the question. It doesn't really say that. It said Bizman is there, you need Yayin. So that's the Machlokes Achronim. So some say Bizman Shabbos makes the Shaykhan, you didn't need Yayin. Since you had Psar Karbonis, so the Basa was enough. The basar is not enough, so in addition to the basar, you have to have yayin also. But you have to have basar v'yayin. And others say, no, there's no need for basar. The zman shabbos makes the shaykhan, you have psar kachim, so kachim is good. The zman is there's no kachim, so there's no basar, you can have no chiks, but yayin is important. So that's a machlek, is there really such a din that the zman is there for the purpose of simcha, you have to have basar? Is there any significance? Or you only say, yayin is hamach levamenash. The Sar Kachim, that says in Chumash. Usmachtim, it says you should be makriv karbanis, usmachtim of Hashem lokechem, to eat the Sar Karbanis. You eat karbanis in the state of Simcha, and Oinen is not permitted to eat karbanis. Even in Kangol, who's makriv Oinen, but it ain't Oichel Oinen, because to eat karbanis, you have to be in the state of Simcha, and eating karbanis is a form of Simcha. But the Shabbos, what about his manazeh? Is it only drinking yayin? Let's say when you have a bris. So the minhag always used to be to make a fleshig bris. So on Erev Shabbos, it's not right to have a fleshig meal. You should really eat the fleshig on Leil Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Erev Shabbos quotes the Shaloach. He had two Rabbeim. So when they used to have a fleshing bris on Erev Shabbos, and one of the Rabbeim would participate, the other one would not. So there, so the Magen Avraham explains it. Doesn't explain so well. So Machzor Shekel, the Magen Avraham explains that was the Machlokes. Is it Meikar Adin that you have to have fleshings for a bris, or you don't need fleshings? You just need yayin. Yayin, they all agree, is supposed to have by a bris. That's what nobody ever serves wine by a bris. That's not right. Yayin, for sure you have to have. The only machlekes is whether it has to be fleshig or not. So if the din requires this, the bris has to be fleshig, so you're allowed to have it on Erev Shabbos also. What can you do? The bris falls out on Friday, so you got to have it. When Yantar falls out on Friday, so you have fleshigs. It's not a violation of Kvod Shabbos to eat fleshigs on Friday if there's a Sudas mitzvah. But if the halacha doesn't require that the Sudas or bris has to have fleshigs, and you're choosing on your own, so that's not that. So that was the machlokes. Same child, let's say a wedding. Can you have a milchik wedding? I remember one boy from the Kollel years ago got married. And we heard that he's going to have a milchik wedding. So I brought in the tshuvas Maram Sheikh. Maram Sheikh has a whole tshuva that it's not proper. You have to have a fleshik wedding because of simcha. Samach renim hol has to be dafke meat and not chicken. So you're not yotzei. The simcha, so suda shel simcha has to be dafke b'sar behem. That's a shaila yonta. If you assume you have to have basar, does it have to be b'sar behem or b'sar roif is also good? So that's on the first page in your Yeridaya. That's a machlekes achrayim. Page aleph from an aleph. Because they have a meaning there that one who's in Avelis, an oval, a middle of Shiva, shouldn't shech, because since he's aggravated, he's not all there, so he may make an Avela. He may not do a good job of shechting, because he's not going to pay full attention. But let's say it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantam, and everybody has to have a flesh for Shabbos Yantam, so then you tell an oval to do the best he can and to shech. So what if you have two shechtim in town? So one of them, the one who's in Avelis, is the one who knows how to shech behemoths. The one who's not in Avelis knows how to shech chickens. So for Shabbos, there's no one says you have to dafke b'sar behema. B'sar roif is also good. But on Yontev, that's a machlokes achrayim. So some say, since it's a chiyuv simcha, you have to have dafke b'sar behema. You're not yet to be b'sar roif. So since the shechet who knows how to shech the behemoths is in Avelis, so we would allow him to shech the behemoths to cover Yontev. Because if not, we're going to be left with chicken. You're not here to the chicken. You have to not give the sarbein. And others disagree. And they say, no, the sarbein is also good enough. Machlokes on the first page in Yeridaya. So here it's interesting. The Ramah's meaning was to have the milchiks and then to have the fleshiks in the same meal. Some people still have that meaning. So the Gemara says, if you have milchiks followed right away with fleshiks, you have to rinse out your mouth and you have to floss your teeth and brush your teeth to get the cheese out. That the cheese shouldn't be caught in between your teeth at the time, at the same time when you're eating the fleshings afterwards. In the Zohar, in Yeridaya, Simon, I think, Peches, beginning of Hilchos Bas L'chol, Peches, Peches, so they quote the Zohar that it's not proper to eat fleshings and milchiks in the same meal. So according to the Zohar, you should really bench in between and then wash a second time and have the fleshiks in the second meal. But according to the Nigla, according to the Gemara, there is no such concern. So that's a discussion in the Malamed L'Hoyol. Malamed L'Hoyol is a tshuva sefer about David Tzvi Hafner, the one who did a lot of work on the biblical criticism. So he has a whole tshuva, and he refers to other tshuvas about that. Is it permissible for a person to bench Birchas HaMazon and then wash again in order to eat the fleshiks in a separate meal, according to the Nigla, that's Goren Brachas Shein Tzricha. But according to the Zohar, you're supposed to do that. So is there a violation of Goren Brachas Shein Tzricha if you want to be machmer for the Zohar? See, as a discussion of that.
Why is it any worse than Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos and people go out of their way to make a Seudah Shlishis in the morning?
That's also a question. Is that right? That's also a question. Is that right? That's the Shad Agar and Baruch Hashem and Tzvicha. So there, I think the Be'er Sheva defends the fact. Be'er Sheva was Talmud of the Lavush. That was a long time ago. The Lavush was in the late 1500s, I think, early 1600s. So the Be'er Sheva is a Sefer on Gemara. So he shows from the Gemara that there's a. The Gemara says, Gar and Baruch Hashem and Tzvicha, but Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. The Gemara said you shouldn't talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, because then you have to say an extra bracha on the Shal Rosh. That's Goren Bracha Shein Tzvicha. The Gemara said that's an Issa de Rabban. Bracha Lebatole, Is that machlokes? Very shiny way that he said there. I said, very good. Thank you. Bracha levatola. Guy says, shahakol. In the middle of learning, he's not drinking, not eating anything. Bracha levatola is a machlokes. Very shiny way that it's an aver there. I said aver there. Rabban. The garden bracha shein the tzvicha. That's the ferish gemara. That's only the rabban. That's not a din there. I said.
So this wouldn't be considered for a mitzvah. For Shalosh Shavuos, it would be, but for just to have a minhag.
For Shalosh Shavuos, that's Maka Mitzvah, so that's not called. A guy talks in between Shoyan Shirosh. Well, who tells him to talk? Says, God, Baruch Hashem, Tzvicha, not Lushay Mitzvah. But here, with the guys benching and washing, Baruch Hashem, Tzvicha, he could have covered everything with one meal. And he's breaking it up into two meals in order to fulfill Shalosh Shavuos. So that's many poskim hold that that's okay. So that's okay. Garm Baruch. So here to Shalosh. This Garm Baruch Hashem Tzvicha to fulfill Amidas Chasidus of the Zohar, which the Nigla doesn't hold from.
Why does he have to wash again? Okay,
you can. You can have the meat without washing. I remember once when we were first married, we didn't have any children yet, so we once made out that we were going to eat in the cafeteria on Shavuos in the daytime. So we were surprised that they only served milchit. They didn't give any flations. So we walked to Rabbi Lifshitz's home. He used to live right across the street from Yeshiva. We live in the building where Rabbi Goldberg lives now. So we asked him, is it okay that we have milchit? So he said, not okay. He said, Yiddish, sit down right now. Sat us down in the kitchen, and he took out the flesh on the refrigerator, and he honestly ate fleshiks over there, and his home. Yeah, you don't have to eat the fleshiks in the middle of the meal, but that was... in Europe, everybody used to eat everything with bread. The main course was bread, and they ate a little bit of food by us. In America, we're not used to eating so much bread. Second day Shavuos is an issue that the Rambam raises. By the time it came Shavuos, why was there a Sveika D'Yom? Everybody in the whole wide world should already know when Pesach was. And starting from the second day Pesach, it counts Sveira, so that at the end of 49 days, next day is Shavuos. So why do you have to observe Yom Tishena Shel Shavuos? Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't really see that it's such a good kashya. He said there must have been some places in the world where they didn't know. That the Rambam asked that kashya. Rambam asked the kashya in the Mishnah Torah. Why do you have 2 days, Shavuos? So the Rambam answers, it's a leitlug or to Pesach and Sukkot. Because Pesach and Sukkot are the 15th of the month. So the 15th of the month, a lot of people didn't hear yet. They weren't notified yet when Rosh Chodesh was, so there was a Sveik of the Yom. So how do you know that you make a loy plug? So the Rambam quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says that the shluchim used to go on horseback and to notify the people in the kehillas when Rosh Chodesh was. So the shluchei Tishrei couldn't go on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. So there are a couple of days they couldn't travel. The shluchei Nissan couldn't go on Shabbos. But until Pesach, there are no Yomim Tovim. So the Shluchei Nissen reached much further distances than the Shluchei Tishrei. Shluchei Tishrei had 2 days missing. They had Rosh Hashanah was missing, they couldn't travel. Yom Kippur was missing. So there must have been places where they had 2 days Sukkot and only 1 day Pesach. Because the Shluchei Nissen higiyu, Shluchei Tishrei lo higiyu. So the Gemara says, no, if Shluchei Tishrei lo higiyu, then even Pesach they have to observe 2 days because of the loitlog. So that's in the Gemara. The Gemara has that light look. So the Rambam claims that Shavuos, all over Chutz Lord, Shavuos is always a light look, or to Pesach and Sukkot. Shavuos, everybody knows. So that's the Shaila. If you have a Din de Rabbanon, which is only because of a light look, you have no right to make a Takana de Rabbanon unless you have a good reason. But once you have a good reason, so then you have a right to make a light plug rabban. You don't always have to make a light plug. Ruba, they made a light plug, and every so often they didn't. So that's a shad. If you have a gzera that's only because of a light plug, so the pashtus is it's a weaker It's a weak gzeira. Then a gzeira, but there's a real reason for the gzeira. So the a contemporary of the Avnei Nezer, 100 years, who died 100 years ago, was the Chalkos Yoyev. It was also a Chassidish Rebbe. Avnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. Chalkos Yoyev was also a Chassidish Rebbe. So he wants to say a Chiddush, that whenever you have a Din Derabbanan, that's a Gzera, a Loit Lug, so maybe you should say B'Mokka Mitzvah is Mut. That the Chachamim have the right to make a Gzera Derabbanan with a Loit Lug to tell you to violate Yeshkach V'Achamim to be oiker a mitzvah. You make the chacham have the right to be oiker a mitzvah. But what if it's only a light plug? Is it also the right red mitzvah? That's a problem. That suggests that it's probably much older than that. So there was a Maisa Shahoya in the early 1800s, that a man was very deathly sick on the second day Shavuos, and if he would die, his wife would need chalitza, and it would be very difficult to get chalitza. It should be an aguna, because a brother lived very far away. Like under the communists, it was practically impossible to do chalitza. If the Yovan lived in Russia, and the Yovan lived out of Russia, there was no way to get in. No way to get in, no way to get out. They didn't let down. We live in a free world. People travel. Just 20 years ago, you couldn't get into Russia. You couldn't get in. So so Rabbi Yehuda's grandson was the Rav, I forgot which city. He wrote the Yad HaMelech. Yad HaMelech is a Chibra and a Rambam. Very nice Sefer. Very, knows how to learn. So he paskin that it's mutter to write the get on the second day Shavuos to be mat of the Yad. Because it's why? Because the Gemara tells a story. The Gemara in Gittin tells a story. A man wrote a get, and he didn't give it to his wife yet. And on Shabbos, he was deathly sick, and he was going to die. And if he would die, she would need chalitza, and it would be a great difficulty. She would be an aguna. It would take her forever to get the chalitza. So they didn't allow writing the get on Shabbos. That's malocha deraisa. They didn't permit that, but they permitted him to be makne his rishus to his wife, and then she was kind of the get with the kinyan chotzen. That's what Tosfos says, pshat. Rashi says kind of the get with the kinyan agav, and the other rishonim say with the kinyan chotzen. So usually we don't permit mekach memkar on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's there, the rabbanim there, rishonim yichtov. And Tosfos had the gears in the Mishnah in the end of Gittin. We don't have that gears. So they can never give a get on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Any garshin. So there was a double violation. Number one, he was makna the karka, that's mekach memkar. The husband was makna to the wife. And number two, he was megarish his wife. It's also a violation. So the Tosfos says that since to save the woman from being an aguna, that's a big shas hatchak, so then you're able to violate these yisurim derabon. So that's what the Nevi Yehuda's grandson, the author of the Yad HaMelech, he said, Yantam Sheni Shol Shavuos is only derabon. And it's a weaker derabbanan than any other yontem sheni even, because it's only a loik book. So he thought that it's permissible to write the get on yontem sheni. No, mistam, if you write the get yontem sheni, mistam, you shouldn't have edi chasimah. It's bad enough. You have the sefer has to write. You try to write as little as possible. So you don't have. By yes, see the we learned in Bava Metzia, the old practice in the days of the Gemara used to be that the husband gave the get to the wife and the wife held on to the get as a shtaraya to prove that she was Nizgarsha. So you have to have Eidech Hasima that should serve as a shtaraya. As man is at the practices that the Masada HaGet takes back the get from the woman, he gives up to her. So what do you need the Eidech Hasima sign on the get for? We don't know exactly why we still have that practice to have Eidech Hasima sign on the get. The Mishnah Gittin says that it's a takanim if ne tikkun hoidim shehu hoidim chosnim ala get. So Tosfos says, what do you mean a takana? It's not a takana. Tosfos says, it's an eitzah taiva. So if his man is there, we don't know. There's no, if you hold that there never was a takana, like Tosfos says, just an eitzah taiva. So if his man is there, what's the eitzah taiva? What do we need the eitzah chasima signing out? It's a waste of time. What do we need the eitzah chasima for? We're going to take back the get 2 minutes after she gets the get. We're going to take it back. We're going to give her a ptur. She'll be able to prove that she was in Zgasha based on the ptur. She doesn't need to get. So our practice is we still have Eidech HaSimah sign on the get. But if you're giving the get on Yontif, if you're telling the Seifer to be Mechalol Yontif, so then it's bad enough that the Seifer has to do Malachim. It's something you should tell the Eidim to have every line Eidim is here. You know, after Eidim Hasim. So at that time, they all wanted to stone him. When this Landau, his name was Landau, the same name as his grandfather, Cheskel Landau. So his name was Ed Yecheskel, I forgot his first name. So Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a whole tshuva. He's wrong. It's can I get a din? Chassam Sofer also. Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. He says second day Yom Shavuos is more chomer than every other Yom. How's it more chomer? If anything, it's more kal because it's only a left look. It's a shverach Chassam Sofer. He says there was no reason, and it still made exerad avon. So it's more chomer. Why is it more chomer? It's very shverach Chassam Sofer. Now they have a new shtick. Now what they'll do is, if you have a mokum igun, if you have an aguna, if it ever happens, so they'll send a sefer from Eretz Yisrael to write the get on Yom Tov Sheni. So that's already, what's the issue? Ben Eretz Yisrael is not allowed to do malacha b'fraheshya, if ne'a machlekes. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins, like Rav HaPaskin, even b'tzina, you're not allowed to, Ben Eric saw the chutzah, it's not allowed to do malachi. Matina, because malacha will always be discovered. So malacha is always considered a bris. But that's only mipnei amachleikas. It's not that it's really a nisa yontif. It's mipnei amachleikas. How you shine on mipnei amachleikas. So because of that, so you're going to leave the woman in aguna. So that for sure, there's room to make. So that's the latest shtick. Whenever they catch a guy, and they know the only time he only comes to shul for yisker, like this, he can't tie him down. It only comes to shul for yisk on the second of yontif, and you can coax him to give a get, coax him with all kinds of threats and so on to give a get on yontif sheni. So they'll get a ben eretz yisrael to write the get. Okay,
this happens
from time to time. Everything happens. Everything happens. Isru Chag says in the Ramah, we observe Isru Chag, you don't say Tafna, you don't say Haspeden. You have a little Simcha. What's Isru Chag all about? So, the Gemara in Sukkah has an expression. It's a wonderful thing. So Rashi has two pshat. So one pshat is, you should eat and drink and make merry on Yom Tov. And the other pshat is, no, Isru Chag, you should celebrate a little bit the day after Yom Tov is over. Yisru Chag of Shavuos was more important than every other Yisru Chag because a point of Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai hold on Sholosh Regolim Yimchiv to bring Oilus Ri and Shammai Chagiga. So Shammai Chagigi eat, so that you're allowed to bring on Yom Tov. Everybody agrees. But Oilus Ri, Oilas Ria is a machlekes b'shamay b'silk. So b'shamay hold, you're not allowed to bring Oilas Ria on Yontif. You have to bring a chalamayt. So there is no chalamayt for Shavuot. So you have to bring, you always have to bring it during the 6 days after Shavuot. You always do tashlumah, according to b'shamay. So according to b'shamay, they always needed an isru chag for Shavuot. So they like the next 6 days. So the first day was the main day, isru chag Shavuot, and everybody brought Oilas Ria. And even according to Beis Hillel, that the Oilas Ria is Derech Yom Tov itself, but if Shavuos would fall out on Shabbos, then neither is Korah, not the Oilas Ria, not the Shalom Chagigah, not Derech Shabbos. And then everybody would have to be Moedet, Bein Lebeishan, Bein Mitzvah. You have to bring all the Karbonis on Sunday. But if Shavuos does not fall out on Shabbos, it falls out in the middle of the week, No. If Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, correct. If Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, everybody, Bein LeBeisil, Bein LeBeishama. You didn't bring Oilus Ria or Shalom Chagiga on Shavuos. Not Derech Shabbos. It's only Derech Yantav. It's not Derech Shabbos. So then everyone agrees you have to bring all the Karbonis on Yisru Chag the day after. So the Mishnah in Chagiga says, but we don't want it to look like the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim always celebrated Shavuos on Sunday. Because they said, Memachos HaShabbos, you start counting Sfira on Sunday. Shavuos Shavuos HaTzvim is 7 full weeks from Sunday to Shabbos. Shavuos is always on an extended weekend. So Shavuos is always on a Sunday. So in that year, when Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, and everybody's coming with all the karbanos, on Sunday, so it looks as if we're following the tzedukin. So the Kohen Gadol would be careful not to dress up Yantim Day. You shouldn't think that the Kohen Gadol is going along with the practice of the tzedukin. That was a historical issue that they had in the Bai Sheni period. They were fighting with the tzedukin. Gemara in Shabbos has a lot of agadot on Peches and Aleph about Maimon Hasina. So the Gemara has an expression, "B'shor she'igdimo Yisrael nasa v'nishma." When the Jewish people said first nasa and then nishma, so Malachi Ashores, 600,000 angels came, and they put two crowns on every person, one keneged nasa, one keneged nishma. Then when Jews sinned with the Chet Ha'egel, so then 1,200,000 angels came to take off the two crowns. The Gemara says, how come when they put on the crowns, one keneged nasa, one keneged nishma, they only needed 600,000? Each angel put on two crowns. And when they took off the crowns as a punishment, the Bnei Yisrael for sitting with the Chet Ha'egel, so he needed an angel to take off each crown. The Gemara said, because the Midah Tova Meruvah and the Midah Sparan is to put crowns on, so one angel can put on two crowns on one person, but to punish us, to take the crowns off, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent one angel to take off each crown separately. So you need twice as many angels. So the Beis HaLevi has a famous drasha that's printed. He has long drashas that are printed at the end of the second chelukah with the Shalosh Teshuvos of the Beis HaLevi. That's the Talmud Chacham, the Rav Soloveitchik, who was named after. That was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father. Was Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. So he has a famous drasha where he says, why b'shor she'ikdimo Yisrael? Why only because they said it in the reverse order? What if they would have said Nishma? What if they would have said Nishma Benasa? Nishma Benasa, then would have, sounds like they would have only gotten one crown. Because they said Nasa Benishma, that's why they got the two crowns. Why Dafke Igdimu? So he says, Nishma means we're going to learn the Din. And Nasa means we're going to keep the mitzvahs. So if they would have said Nishma Benasa, we're going to learn the Din and we're going to observe the mitzvahs. So then learning the dina would have only been a heksha mitzvah to lead to fulfillment of all of the 612 mitzvahs. Talmud Torah wouldn't have been counted as an independent mitzvah. So you would only deserve one crown, keneged nasa. But because they said it in the reverse, they said nasa v'nishma. So nasa implies we're going to have to learn the dina in advance to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs. So nishma is a separate kabbalah. Nishma is a separate commitment. We're going to learn Torah. We're even going to learn those dinim that are not relevant to us. We sit and we learn Taras, and we sit and we learn Zroim, even though the Zroim is only Nogea and Eretz Yisrael. So since there were two different Kabbalahs, if they would have said Nishma Menasa, so Nishma, to learn the Torah, would have only been a Hechshemit. Now that they said it in the opposite order, Shoshik Dima Yisrael, Nasa Venishma, so before the Nasa, there's going to have to be a Levod. So the Nishma is going to be to learn as a separate Eschaibus. So that's why he deserves two crowns. So he says he understands why a bracha is recited when you learn Torah. The Gemara says when you tie tzitzis onto the beggar, you don't recite a bracha. Because we paskin that tzitzis is chayvas gabe, it's not a chayvas man. It's not that whenever you have a garment in the drawer, klei kufsa, you're not chayv to put on tzitzis. If it would have been a mitzvah just to tie on tzitzis on a beggar that you're not even wearing. So then the minute when you tie on the tzitzit on the beggar, you're a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Says you're about to tie on the tzitzit. You should say a bracha. Shikshem tatsanu al kshiras tzitzis. So the Gemara says, we don't pass them like that. Because since we pass them, klei kufsa, the begadim in the drawer, and the kufsa, not chayim in tzitzis. So the tying of the tzitzis is only a hechshem mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah itself. So no bracha is recited on a hechshem mitzvah. So how come we recite a bracha on Talmud Torah? The answer is because Talmud Torah is not a hechshem mitzvah. It's like a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Mitzvah's Talmud Torah exists as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, not merely a hechshem mitzvah. And then he has in the same essay, he writes about women. The women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. Ma'at ha'mar says b'neichem, alo b'neiseichem. So what do you mean? But the women have to know the dinim then and they get to them. They have to know the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpachim. When they go shopping, they shouldn't cheat the store. And so on, when they sell, when they buy. They have to deal honestly in business. So he says, yeah, the women have an obligation to learn those dinim that are relevant to them. That's a hechshem mitzvah. it's not the Torah's mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. When we say that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they're not mechayiv to learn Torah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. They're not mechayiv to learn those dinim that are not relevant to them. The women that are up to learn hilchos tzitzis, hilchos tefillin, hilchos lulav, they don't have to learn that. They have to learn the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha that they do have to learn. That's as a heksha mitzvah to be able to fulfill all of the mitzvahs that are that they will have to learn. That's the famous Beis Halev. The Gemara has in several places that the Torah was given to Toro Soy. There are two parts to the Torah. This is the Torah Shabbat and the Torah Shabbat Fem. And the Medrash the Gemara has in Shabbos Daf Peches on the same Daf. The Gemara has Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah on the Jewish people. They didn't really want to accept it. So Tosfos on the Daf is bothered with the Kasha. What it mean? But they said Na'aseh Nishma. Everybody said Na'aseh Nishma. They all accepted. So Tosfos gives a difficult answer. So the Medrash Tachumna on Parshas Noach has a long Arichas on this Kasha. Medrash Tachumna says first, Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael what's in store in the Torah Shebichzav. Torah Shebichzav doesn't seem to be so difficult to observe. So they all screamed out, Nas v'nishma, they were all gung-ho, they were all going to accept it. And then he started telling them all the dikdukim and all the details of the Torah Shebal Peh, so that they didn't want to accept. That's already too difficult. The Medrash has the expression, Koshi kashol kino rishafer rishvei ev shal ev esko, the psukim from Shir Hashem. The difficulty in observing the Torah is in the Torah Shebal Peh. Not so much in the Torah Shabbat itself. So the so that's what they didn't want to accept. So Rish Bachu was Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas on the Torah. Rish Bachu was Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas on the Torah Shabbat Pet. Until the days of Esther. And Es Purim was soon before the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Midrashim say, and the Gemara has like that, that basically, that was the tkufa of Torah Shebichzav. There was a little bit of development of Torah Shebal Peh, but not so much. From the days of Maimon HaSina till the days of Es Purim. And then came Ezra. And Ezra, the Gemara says, in the second parak in Sanhedrin, yeah, Psukim describing Ezra was a big Marvitz Torah, the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu chaptois in advance, Ezra would have given the whole Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu had already given it. So what do you mean? No, so what it means is that Ezra didn't begin the Torah Shabbat Peh, but because the Jews were mekabel the Torah Shabbat Peh b'ratzon on the occasion of Nes Purim, so that's why they were able to develop the Torah Shabbat Peh much further after the Nes Purim, after Hodi Kiblu Imech HaShem. So then the main development of the Torah Shabbat Peh was after Ezra. So that's what the Gemara says, that there were two tkufas in the history. The first tkufa from Maimon HaSina till Ezra, till Nes Purim, till Ezra, was the tkufa with the emphasis was placed on the Torah Shebichzav. There was a little Torah Shebal Peh being developed, but not so much. And then we live now in the tkufa of the Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what the Gemara has in Bava Basra, in the first parak. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Novi, Gam ki yitnu bagoyim ato akapcem. Yitnu is miloshen masnisen. Ein yisom ligolim ele b'schus liben ha-mishnayis. When the Jewish people will emphasize limud of mishnayis, of Torah Shebal Peh, will be zecher to the gula. It means the gula is because of Talmud Torah. Which Talmud Torah? So we live now in the tkufa, where the main emphasis is supposed to be on the Torah Shebal Peh. I think it's very unfortunate that there's so many people today who are developing a whole new style of interpreting Tanakh, mamish, based on thin air. They make up stories from thin air. They have no traditions, they have no... Because the same phrase appears by Mordechai, appears by Yosef, Shoshana, and Zereshov. You have to have brains, you have to have a tradition, you have to have a feel to know how to read Tanakh. You can't just say the same expression appears. Same number appears here and there, and therefore it has a connection. Just because the same number appears means that it's the same thing. I think it's all hogwash. Anyway, the main, we live in the tkufa that was supposed to be placing all the emphasis on the Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Torah Shabbat Peh, you have to have a Masorah. Moshe Kibbul Torah Messina, Masorah, Yeshua, Yeshua, Viskanim. The Masorah goes on Torah Shabbat Peh. On Torah Shabbat you don't need a Masorah. We use the word Masorah to refer to the Masoretic text, whether it's a Kriya Ksiv, that's called the Masorah. But when the Mishnah says, Moshe Kibbul Torah Messina, Masorah, Yeshua, that goes on the Masorah of Torah Shabbat Peh. So in the Hakdamah to the Birch HaShmuel, Rav Baruch Be'ez Shiurim. So they have written by Rav Baruch Be'ez son-in-law, Rav Reuven Grozovsky. He used to be in Torah Vedas. So he says that his father-in-law used to say, Rav Baruch Be'ez used to say, in the name of Rav Chaim, you have to have a masora from your rabbein, how to formulate a kasha and how to say a teretz and how to develop a svara. You can't just introduce svaras. You have to have a masora on a style of how to pasch and shilas. They say the name Rav Chaim that he told his children, he told his talmidim, they shouldn't dare say a svara before they've covered all of Shas with Rashi. You have to know what's the Talmudic style of thinking. Every discipline has its own logic, has its own system of thought. So the Talmud also has its own system of thought. We just learned on Shabbos, the sixth parak in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah praises Rav Meir says, "Kol olam etorah lishma zechel edvar ma'ayv." What does it mean, lishma? So lishma, so we spoke a little bit on Shabbos about the Rav Chaim Volozhin has a machlokes to the Hasidim. He thinks that lishma does not mean l'shem hizdakus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lishma just means olam etorah lishma. You learn Torah in order to see what it says. Yeah, but that's important. There are people who have their own agenda before they start learning. Before they open up the Sefer, they already know what the maskana is going to be. They already made up their minds what the psak is going to be. Not because they have such an intuition that they have such a feeling. No, they have a secular attitude. They know what we want to see to it, that the women get smicha. So they'll find sources in the Gemara to show that women can get smicha. They make up their minds in advance. So that's not learning Torah lishma. If a person is open-minded and he opens up the Torah and he wants to see and he has traditions of attitudes and wants to see what is the Torah telling us, that's one thing. But if you make up your mind in advance, you can reinterpret everything in the Talmud. You can mistranslate the words and you can force interpretations in the Gemara. There's a sefer called Dor Revi. We used it last year when we learned Chulin. Dor Revi was by the first great-grandson of the Chasam Sofer, whose name was Moshe. He was named after his great-grandfather. So he's called the Dor Revi, the fourth generation. There was a rabbi in Cloisenberg, and then he went on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the 1800s. He was a big Zionist. That's why the Satmar Rebbe holds he was an apikoros, because he's not allowed to be a Zionist. So, but the Sefer is a very modern thinker. He opens up, he's not afraid to ask kashas on Tesis. Not afraid to ask kashas. He opened a very open-minded sefer. He has a whole akdama to his sefer on Chulin. He has more than one sefer, but he has one sefer on Chulin that his descendants reprinted. So in the akdama to the sefer, he discusses the whole idea of Torah Shabbat Peh. So he discusses the Gemara in Kiddushin that the Gemara says, Hashem Yisrin Adbo Avizorach Nisei Elamoi. Why was the Rabban Shalom in Pora? In Seir. What was he doing in Pora and in Seir? Shemi Sinai, but okay. He was at Har Sinai for the Maimon Har Sinai. So the Rabban Shalom offered to give the Torah to the different nationalities, and each one turned it down. So this nation turned it down because it says Laisirtsoch, and they can't live without Laisirtsoch. This nation turned it down because it says Laisinoch. They can't live without Lysina. Here it says, Lysigzel, they live on Gezel. Sure. So everybody asked the Kasha, what do you mean? But Lysirtzel from Lysina, from Lysigzel, from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So what has it got to do with their, I mean, they rejected the Torah because of these. But even if they don't accept the Torah, but the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are binding on all of mankind. So what do they think they're going to get away with? So he interprets differently. He says, what do you mean the Rabban Shalom wanted to give them the Torah? Wanted to give them that they should be the Balabatim to be Kaveya, the Torah Shabbat Peh. They should be the ones to develop it. So they said, Rabban Shalom, it's not a smart idea. We have an agenda. We're so much into Lo Sigzel, we're so much into Lo Sinuf, we're so much into Lo Sinuf. We have an agenda. So if you're going to give us the Torah, we're going to twist your Torah. It's going to come out mutilated. We're going to ruin it. It's not an intelligent thing to give us the Torah. Give it to someone who's open-minded. They'll learn from the Torah. They'll learn what the way to live. By us, we're so involved in this style of living that we're just going to destroy your Torah. So unfortunately, we live in a generation. I don't think it's unique to our generation. It's always like that. There are always people that have their own agenda. And they were always interpreting the way they wanted. The Seres Adimus are called the Luchas Abris. Why are they called the Luchas Abris? So, they quote from the Vilna Gaon, just like when a boy loves a girl and he gives her an engagement ring, he gives her a ring to marry her. So that ring represents the bris that he's making with the girl. So the Aseres Adibras is the Luchas HaBris. There's a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. Shir HaShirim and other Pesukim and Tanakh describe it like a marriage. So the Luchas is like the ring that represents this relationship. So Rav Soloveitchik once explained, what did Moshe Rabbeinu think he's going to accomplish by smashing the Luchas? He's not going to deliver Luchas. Rashi quotes the Medrash, Moshe LeMelech, that he thought the Melech was away, and he comes back, and he heard a rumor that his wife was Mezana, and he wanted to kill her. So then Ohav Shel Melech ripped up the Ksuba, and the Melech couldn't prove that she was married. What do you mean over here, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchas? So Rav Soloveitchik said, yes. That Al Pidin, he said, it's not Al Pidrush, it's Al Pidin. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shliach Lahilochas HaKidushin by the Luchas Rishayin. So if he never develops, if he never delivers the Luchas to Bnei Yisrael, so the Kesem Kidushin didn't do his job. So it's not Chav. The Jewish people are not married to the Baruch Shalom, so they won't be punished like an Eishes Ishes Insa. The Luchas Shniyas, Rav Soloveitchik thought they were Midrashim, and they indicate Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Shliach LeKabolos HaKidushin. So once the Baruch Shalom gave it to him, so even if he would smash the Luchas, it was already delivered. He represented Bnei Yisrael the second time around. The first time around by the Luchas Rishonos, he represented the Rabban Shalom. He was the Shliach LeHilochas HaKidushin, so it wouldn't be Chalot. Kolzman, he doesn't deliver it. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Pashtus is that the Psukim say, the first time, by the Luchas Rishonos, it says, Amichta Michta, HaLuchas Maiser LeKimhu, Amichta Michta LeKimhu, Choras Ala Luchas. That the raw material that the Luchas were engraved on was not from this world. It was Meitachas Kisei HaKavod. It was some Ruchnizdika material. So the both the Ksav, Aluchas Maiser LeKimhu, Vamichta Michta, everything was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's nothing there from Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the Ksav with the Luchas. He was the Shliach LaHilocha to give it to Bnei Yisrael. But the second time around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you should carve them out. You should come up to Har Sinai. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Echtav HaHalachos, I will engrave it. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam engraved it, that's like putting the ring, the Kesef of Kiddushin, into a box that belongs to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu schlepped up the Luchas to Har Sinai. When Ribbono Shel Olam engraved it, so that he was the Shliach LeKabbalah. He already received the Ksav. The Kiddushin this second time was the Ksav. And the Ksav was placed inside the Luchas, which was brought from Olam Hazeh. Second time around, it wasn't Aluchas Maiser LeKimhu. It was only Amichta Michta LeKimhu. That was the difference between the first Luchas and the second Luchas. So Yichud Hashem doesn't only mean we believe in monotheism, one God. We believe in something more than that. Einoid Melvadoi. What do you mean? Einoid Melvadoi. There's not more than one God. How do we say it? Yadat HaMashoah Hashem Elokein. Hashemai Rosh. Mitochas Einoid. So the Baal HaTanya writes, one would think that there's another God hiding under the earth, in the river. What's the Haba mean? No, Einoi means there's no other power in the world. The Mukubalim say means there's nothing else that exists in the world. The only thing that exists is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Einoi Melvadoi means nothing else exists. There's the table, there's the person, the people. We really don't have an independent existence. We have a contingent existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to come into existence and he wants us to keep on existing. So Kolzman, he has the Ratz and we exist. When he will, for a split second, he'll change his mind. He'll decide he doesn't need us. We'll just disappear into thin air. We don't have an independent existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing in the world that exists independently. That's what the Gemara says. There's machlokes hatanoim and brachas, and we pass them that you're not allowed to be between Yotze Amoris and Abba Rabba between Abba Rabba and Shema between Shema and Yoyim Shema between Shema and Yoyim. You're allowed to be mapsik in the Pnei HaKov and the Pnei HaYira. But in between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes V'yatzid, you're not allowed to be mapsik at all. Why? Because the Pesuk in Yechezkel says, Hashem Elokim Emes. What does it mean, Hashem Elokim Emes? He doesn't tell any lies. What does it mean? So the Rambam explains, no, Hashem Elokim, the Baruch Shalom, is the only one who has a real existence. Einoid Mulvadim means nothing else exists independently of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else only has contingent existence. So the Mekubalim have an expression. They say that this is what they call Ha'atzola, emanation. God exists, and because he wants the world to exist, so that's an extension of him, an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some of the Chassidish Rabbanim felt that a Shoichet who doesn't believe in Ha'atzola, doesn't believe that a nation is an Apikurus, and Apikurus Chitos and Aveilah. It's no good. I don't think that the opinion was accepted. Gosh, this is it. You don't have to be, all right, that's the understanding of how the world exists. But the Yechuyiv, that's part of the Kari Amun, I have to know that. We assume like that everything in the world is Ha'atzola, emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's not an Iker. But the Iker is Yichud Hashem. Doesn't only mean there's only one God. It means more than that. It means that the only one who has power in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all have to do Hishtadlus to get things done. But we should realize that we should still dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of everything that happens. When you need a shidduch, when you need a job, when you want to have children, when your children need a shidduch, when they need a job. You have to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam every step of the way. Because kihu levado koyol gvuros etzel chadoshes, each one of the brachas of Kriya Shema corresponds to each one of the prokim in Shema. Shema v'ayom, Shema v'ayomer. So kihu levado koyol gvuros etzel chadoshes, that corresponds to Yichud Hashem. To the first perik in Shema. Hashem Echad doesn't only mean there's only one God, as opposed to the Trinity, as opposed to the Greek Avodah Zarah. It means that Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one who's in full control of everything in the world. So that's, and then we, the Aseret HaDibros tells about Shabbos, we believe in the story of creation. We believe that God created the world, Yesh Me'ay. And that's why he's the Balabas over everything, and he controls everything in the world. Okay, you guys have to get back to Davin Mincha. Okay.